When God the Father brought Jesus Christ back from the grave, back from the dead, where he had been for 3 nights and 3 days, the Bible records for us that Jesus was declared or proclaimed to be the Son of God with power. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What an awesome thing to realize and to understand. Jesus Christ, during the days of unleavened bread, was resurrected from the dead, and he was proclaimed by God. Jesus was proclaimed to be the Son of God with power. Obviously, something very significant had taken place with the sinless life of the Lamb of God and with the literal sacrifice of the Lamb of God that had taken place, having been slain, as it were, by God's intent from the foundation of the world. Something was happening. Also, obviously, the resurrection of Jesus to eternal life was monumental. When you think about it, when you focus on it, we understand that never had a human being been resurrected back to life in this manner. Oh yes, there had been people who had been dead and had been resurrected back to life, but they were physical human beings when they died, and they were resurrected back to physical human life. Jesus Christ had been a physical human being, and he died, but he was resurrected to much more. Eternal life, declared the Son of God with power. Just prior to Jesus' death, he had prayed that the Father would glorify him with the same glory that he had enjoyed before his human existence. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, in verse 5. John 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify you me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. But there was more. There was more. Just what did the Father give unto his resurrected Son? Because there is more. Jesus himself said that he had been given all power in heaven and in earth. Let's see that. That's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 17 through 19. Matthew 28, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Now hold your place. Can you believe that while some came to worship the risen Jesus Christ from the dead as the glorified Son of God, some were there and doubted? Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as it says in the King James Version. Brethren, we rarely focus on this aspect of the days of unleavened bread, the resurrection, and what it actually means for the plan of God, especially for the plan of God as it affects those of us in his church today. Yet, this is a very important detail in God's plan. With the completed work of the human Jesus Christ, and now with the resurrection of the eternal Jesus Christ, God has set up everything that was necessary for the next step in His very orderly plan that He has. Because everything by God is done in an order. It is done in an exact way, in an exact time, in the exact moment that it needs to be done, in an exactly sequenced master plan for mankind. Jesus reminded what was happening. And as He remained with His faithful disciples for 40 days after His resurrection, He fellowshiped with them. He taught them. And He comforted them. And then He had to return to His Father in heaven to set in motion the granting of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He tells them, I have to go away. I have to do this so that this next thing that is going to be taking place in the plan of salvation can also happen. And that would be the granting and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church of God. Jesus told His disciples that they would receive power from on high. They would receive power from on high. It was a promise of the Father. In Luke chapter 24, go to verse 49. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued or empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not what it says, but that's what it is saying. Until you be endued with power from on high. And we know that that's going to be the receiving of the Holy Spirit. A promise from the Father. Having received all power in heaven and in earth, and then returning to heaven, where then He was glorified as He had been before, Jesus also received gifts for men. Let's notice this over in the book of Psalms. Remember I asked you, I said, or made the statement, there's more. What else did the Father receive? What else did the Father give to His resurrected Son, rather? The next point we want to see that is He received gifts for men. Psalm 68 in verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. That the Lord God might dwell among them. These gifts for men are also referred to in the book of Ephesians. Paul adds to the idea that Jesus now gave, past tense, the gifts unto men. Ephesians 4 and verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. It's as if it has happened. But Jesus received these things. He received power. What power? What gifts? What does it mean that Jesus led captivity captive? What do these things mean? Today, let's explore these questions and let's search the scriptures for answers. And let's see if we can find out and we can learn what else was given to Jesus Christ. Until the completed work of Jesus Christ, captivity reigned. After the completed work of Jesus Christ as a human being, captivity was now captive. That is what the scriptures indicate. That's what it says. What was the captivity? We have learned through the years of keeping the annual festivals that the physical captivity of ancient Israel in the land of Egypt is a type of a captivity. It is a type, it was physical, but it was also a type of a spiritual captivity. Through the days of unleavened bread, we learn that God delivered his people, ancient Israel, from Egypt. Now, the work of Jesus Christ, the true Passover lamb, made that possible in the spiritual realm. See, that all happened thousands of years ago. The physical nation, they were in a physical captivity. God delivered them out. And the scripture tells us, he says, all of these things happened and were recorded for those upon whom the ends of the world have come. And that's us. That was physical, but it was symbolic of the spiritual captivity. Jesus leading captivity captive involved going to the very root of the problem. It required that Jesus Christ never give in to the power of the enemy of God, who is Satan the devil. It required, that is exactly what he was having to do, was to never give in, never give in. And Jesus never failed. In fact, Jesus never even flinched. Even in the face of the power of darkness, Jesus Christ never wimped out. Jesus knew the power of darkness must have its day. Luke 22, verse 53. When I was daily with you in the temple, this is Jesus speaking to the Jewish leaders, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no arms against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your time. He recognized that the power of darkness must have its day. It was all to be part of the plan of salvation. It had to happen. It was going to happen. And it happened. The power that the devil has held over mankind is a power of darkness. It is a power of evil, a power of deceit, and a power of fear. With that in mind, go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 14. Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, in other words, there's flesh and blood human beings, he also himself likewise took part of the same, Jesus Christ, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, who is flesh and blood and bone, a human being. What we notice is that the root of the power the devil has, that he has held over mankind, is the root of what? Fear. Fear. Humans fear death. Verse 15. Through fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. That's describing all human beings. They fear loss of self-esteem, personhood, independence, and on it could go. We don't want to give up me. We don't want to give up ourself. Humans fear many things. God's victory over the power of darkness was completed when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. It was overcome. But mankind still seems to be in captivity. I mean, this is the time of year when people are going to, they're going to celebrate, they're going to recognize that Jesus Christ was dead and Jesus Christ is risen. But you know what? They're still going to have their fears. Because they don't understand things. There are some things that have still not yet been revealed to mankind. But you know, brethren, even some people who attend church fall prey to the pulls of darkness at various times in their lives also. We are often in powerful spiritual battles. Many professing Christians would rather not believe that we are regularly in spiritual battles, yet it is true. Do we, and I mean those of us who are hearing these words, do we believe the word of God? Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, I know there's a clearer way of saying it, but I'm reading it straightforward exactly like it says. It's still clear. This verse is still clear. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. Spiritual darkness, wicked powers are real. And we do not have to fear. In fact, we are told that we are not to fear. And the reason is because, just as we read in Hebrews chapter 2, fear is the foundation of our being held in spiritual bondage. So we are forbidden to fear. This is a powerful lesson that we learn from the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are not to fear. God has given us His Holy Spirit that is far more powerful than human fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have God's Holy Spirit, it is not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of sound mindedness, of power and of love. What God accomplished through Jesus Christ assures us that God can and God will do what He intends. And He intends to turn humans away from the power of darkness to God, back to Himself. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26, in verse 18, Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We've been turned away. We've been assured. We don't have to fear. In fact, and what we're actually being told is we're not supposed to. We don't have a reason to. We have receive part of this, having been led captivity captive. Brethren, please understand, God will not be stopped. God's plan and His power are sure and absolute. It is only our choices that can eliminate us from God's purpose for us. God's done everything. He has a part, we have a part. His is so huge and ours is so small. Our part, to put it as simple and easy as we can get it, is we choose. See, God's done He sent out all the big guns. He sent out all the big points. All of the big points in having to do this are all belong to God. He's already done it. We just simply look at it and go, okay, we choose God or we choose Satan. We choose. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then as a result of that, God gave to Jesus Christ all of these incredible gifts for men. And one of these incredible gifts that He gave to us is the power of the Holy Spirit that we don't have to fear, which is the reason for all bondage. I know I'm oversimplifying it, but that's what it says. Yes, but you don't understand. I've got this trial and this trial and this trial and this trial. It's bondage to fear. And when you boil it even down even closer, it's bondage of the fear of death. We don't want to give up us. And God has already given us everything that we need, that's not even a reality. May we lose our job? Yeah, we might. May we get sick and lose our health and die? Yes, we might. But we still have the choice. We still are going to live this godly way of life based on the way that Jesus Christ has received and all the things that He received because He was resurrected from the dead. Or we're going to choose to go along with Satan. The choices we make are important. We must make choices to always trust and always believe God. And we must also always hold fast to the faith that God has given to us, staunchly refusing to fear darkness, because we have no reason to any longer, but rather to be in the fear or the awe of God. And as a result, God tells us in the book of Hebrews to hold on to our confidence. We have this as a confidence. If you have the Holy Spirit, we have that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 34, beginning in verse 34. For you have compassion of me in my bonds, and take joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Let's compare to what? What we got here are the promises we got from God in heaven. Which one? Well, one is so much better, the other one doesn't even really, there's no choice. I'll give you this penny, or I'll give you this $1,000 bill. Which one do you want? I mean, you know, there is no choice. Well, this is what Paul is saying. There is this. I mean, not really this choice, because it's there. Verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You have all that you need. You have all that's available. Don't cast away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So we believe God or we believe Satan. Those are the only two choices. Let's look at this promise in the book of Colossians. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Oh, let's read that again. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son? God refers to things and calls things as it has already happened in a way He desires it. This is what He wants. He starts calling it that. For illustration, the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. Only He didn't come and empty Himself and be a human being for about, I'm rounding off, for about 4,000 years of human existence. But He was slain from the foundations of the world. And He was known through that all the way through, you know, all through Scriptures. So many of the prophecies describing the coming of Jesus Christ, because it was already done as far as God was concerned. And this is the same thing here. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Didn't say might, would like to, has a desire to, thinking about it, has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has delivered us. And there's more. And has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom is coming. We're going to be part of the kingdom. Brother, we are part of the kingdom. We are already delivered from the power from darkness. We are already, as far as God is concerned, in the kingdom of God. Are we there physically? Of course not. Jesus Christ was slain from the foundation of the world 4,000 years before the event took place. Time in that sense is not important to God. He declares things the way that He wants them to be. The family of God has already done what they needed to do. As far as God is concerned, we are delivered. And I guess a question that I would interject is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? Through God's power, there is nothing that can hold us down or defeat us. We belong to God. He made us, and He bought us back from the bondage we entered into through sin. Is part of the overall big thing, the days of unleavened bread. Do we believe it? Or do we fear? And if we fear, we need to be set free from fear. Because all that is necessary is already there. Remember that Jesus told His disciples that they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. Let's go there. John 8, verse 32. Good memory verse. Because when we find ourselves in doubt, boy, what a verse to remember and to be reciting. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, this statement is true. This verse is true. We either believe it and accept it, or we don't. When we study the Word of God, when we study this book, which is itself a great gift from God to mankind, what happens is we renew our minds. We get away from the world. We get away from self. And our mind is renewed. When we seek God's approval above all else, not man's approval, then what happens is we move toward a sound mind. that God wants us to always have. The Holy Spirit is one of the gifts God has given to His people. Jesus Christ promised that the Holy Spirit would teach and guide us into all truth. John 16 in verse 13. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. I know it's referring to the Holy Spirit as a He, and I'm just reading the verse. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. But He's going to guide us. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us into all truth. It's never going to guide us into something that is not truth. And we have the Holy Spirit. Even our children have access to the Holy Spirit because you do. They can also hear and understand. Yes, in a limited way, in a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old or whatever it is, young person. But they still have access to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will also show them truth. Faith is another of the gifts God has given to us. And that faith can grow as we hear the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God instead of listening to the lies of the enemy and the deceiver will cause faith to grow. Romans 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing Satan and his lies, or hearing the Word of God? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word of God and increases faith. What people tend to do is to listen to all of the bad the world is constantly broadcasting toward us. Now, should we be keeping up with news and events and things? Yes, but that's not necessarily the part that I'm referring to. It's the analysis of it sometimes. We start listening to the bad of the world as opposed to focusing on what God has to say about all of these things. In a sense, we have been programmed from our earliest childhood to listen to the bad and to be fearful. What we tend to do. But please understand, brethren, that fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. So what forces do we allow to operate in our lives? Do we allow the sounds, the words of fear? Or do we only allow the words that build and strengthen faith? I stated earlier, we have a choice. Which one are we going to listen to? Listening to words that counteract faith is not sound-minded. When we listen to words or replay these words or these thoughts and situations that counteract faith, we are feeding fear. And I know that there are some of us who do that. And I guess the question that I would ask is, where do you think that comes from? Let's just two choices. Is it of God or is it of Satan? And when you put it in these simple terms, you get to the place you go, well, of course it's Satan. Then the obvious next question is this, why do we listen? And the answer is because we have fear of death. We're in bondage. Jesus Christ died and was resurrected to free us, to deliver us from this bondage of fear and death. So why do we fear? Because we have fear of death. We don't want to die. I don't want to give up me and what God wants. God wants us to be free of fear. What does Satan want? To be in bondage. John 10:10. The thief came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And why did Jesus come? That you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Fear of death, bondage, or not. It's so simple. God wants us to be free of fear. He wants us to walk in the light. And through the work God has accomplished through Jesus Christ, we can walk in the light. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Verse 3. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. What a beautiful verse in describing Jesus Christ. Verse 4. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. God wants us to walk in light. What are we walking in when we're walking in light? We're walking in the life of Jesus Christ. To put in another term. We're walking in Jesus Christ. Where He's going, we're there. We're doing those things. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. When you're in a darkened room, you turn on a light, what happens? Darkness is gone. It is overpowered. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. It's gone. Jesus Christ is our light, who was raised from the dead during the days of unleavened bread. John 1 and verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. Any one of us can be spoiled or ruined by wrong thinking, or by vanity, or by deceit, or by trying to please men, or a whole list of other things. It might occur because we allow ourselves to stray away from Christ and the gifts God has made possible for us through Jesus Christ. So just as the Apostle Paul warned the brethren over in Colossae, we need to be warned today. So let's go to Colossians 2. And I want to read these verses not from a historical point of view, but from a today point of view, warning us, me, you, us. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. Let me read that again. We are complete in Him. Him is referring to Jesus Christ. which is the head of all principality and power. Jesus Christ is the head. He has all power. During the days of unleavened bread, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, through the power of Almighty God, made it possible for us to be free out of bondage, the fear of death, and to be free. John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Are we free? We can be free because Jesus Christ has led captivity captive and given gifts unto men. So during the remainder of these days of unleavened bread, let's rejoice in the blessings and the gifts from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's turn ourselves completely over to God, allowing Him to completely deliver us, to set us free from bondage and death. And the Aaronic blessing, Numbers chapter 6, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Happy Sabbath, and God bless you all.